my favorite lie of yours was I heard you, I don't know if it was on your podcast, but you told the story of you hitting the hole in one that you never hit and getting the plaque.
Yes, it was an enormous mistake now that I'm a
How old
junkie
were you,
golfer. I was like 11, and I never played golf. I didn't care, so I just was messing with my grandfather. I also didn't know how important a hole-in-one was. And then he was a lifelong golfer. He went out and made me a plaque, whatnot. So I was like, I guess this is a bigger deal than I thought. So I'm never getting one now. That has killed me.
That's so tough. And you never copped the lie, right? Like, it's like, where is that plaque today?
I have no idea. Hopefully in the trash.
You should have that in your house. Okay, yeah.
Definitely don't have that. So
exactly.
So we've got a what is here the basic measuring stick game, right? In Toronto is, can you beat the Bruins, and how do you look against the Bruins? Basically, nothing else matters. But I'll start with this. Do you like the playoff format? Because the thing that sucks about all this is Leaf fans aren't even really watching to see where they get settled out in the standings, because Tampa Bay is in there as well. And basically it's just between them and Boston for that second seed, it already feels like. And it really does seem to suck out a lot of the drama from the rest of the season. And I wonder how you feel about it.
I'm not the biggest fan. I mean, I hate back before, you know, Pittsburgh and Washington, you know, they had to play in the second round. It felt like, I just feel like, you know, the best team should play in the third round to go to the cup final. I actually am a big proponent of 1 through 16 tournament, boom, doesn't matter where you finish. If you're Toronto and you finish 1, you play 16, say it's Anaheim. I don't care. It'll never happen, but that's for a different day. But the current format, it just kind of drives me crazy, because I feel like there could be a sense of the Eastern Conference or Western Conference final not being as good as maybe a round before, like, you know, when Winnipeg has to play Nashville, things like that. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, I understand why fans can also enjoy it, because it's going to bring back rivalries that kind of used to be the case when the conferences or the divisions were different, whatever they were called. And I mean, I'm just not a fan. I could also see the other side, though. But either way, when you're asking about Toronto, Boston, it's Toronto fans feel like Bruins after last night against Washington. They just can't beat Washington, and it seems like somehow the Bruins just have Toronto's number. So it's always going to be different and weird how some teams just can't beat other teams in the league.
So, Ryan, just looking at your career versus mine, you know, on HockeyDB, they're very comparable in that you have 481 games played and I have zero. Also, our points are very similar in that I have zero. You have 260 or so. But you're also trying to make the transition into sports media, and you guys have had great success with Spit and Chicklets, and I have a good relationship with Biz Nasty. What's been the most difficult part for you in trying to make the transition from being a player to being in sports media?
I wouldn't say anything's been that difficult. It's more kind of, you know, being involved in the game still, the way we are with the podcast, and I work at NHL Network a little bit here and there. It's great because you're still involved, but it's also still not even close to, you know, being what it was when you're a player. And it's just like, sometimes it almost makes you miss it more that you're around it all the time. But it's like, I'm friendly with guys in the league, but I'm not out to dinner with them and in the locker room. Like, I miss so much. So I wouldn't say anything's been that difficult. I've been lucky enough where I've had a lot of good opportunities since I stopped playing, and I've kind of just tried to go on and be myself. I got a chance with TSN at one point when I was playing, and Sportsnet was great for a little bit, my first year done playing, and then NHL Network, and then starting the podcast has been fun, because that's almost, you know, you can really be yourself on that one. I think people who have listened know it's a little different than when Biz and I are kind of doing TV stuff, but it's still cool. So I wouldn't say anything's been that difficult. It's still a transition. No matter what you're doing at the end of hockey, it's not hockey anymore, and that'll always be tough.
It's strange, though, because what I think has been so instrumental in your success is that, yeah, not only are you an interesting, funny guy who played, but that you do have this podcast that's been extremely successful, because a lot of it seems to be unfiltered. And we do say that it's different from TV and normal radio hits. That's very true. And I think a lot of people gravitate towards it for those exact reasons. But generally what you hear from former players that get into this is it's tough for them to be critical of their peers. Like, we're buddies with Colby Armstrong, and he says he's obviously a talented guy. He's obviously a funny guy. And right away it was getting him to tell stories on the air instead of just off, right? And saying that this guy didn't play very well tonight. And do you still feel like that's a part where you're reserved, or have you gotten in trouble with some guys, or do you think that that's kind of been different for you?
I know exactly what you're saying. I can't think of any instances where I got in trouble. But it's also tough. It is. I mean, no, especially when it's somebody I'm friends with. I say blatantly, I'm not going to be ripping on people I'm friends with. I mean, maybe say like, oh, you know, this dude didn't have a great game, but I'm not going to just go out and carve him. I'll admit it. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But even guys I don't know, you do feel a little like, God, I remember when that happened to me and I played, I was just so pissed off at the person. But in the end, like the same way people did to me when I was struggling really bad, you're making millions of dollars and there's going to be criticism. And I just try to be really fair. So if I'm criticizing a guy, I'm going to do my best not to carve the guy's personality. But if he's not playing good, he could be as mad at me as he wants. But once he looks in the mirror, he's probably going to say to himself, listen, I'm not playing that good. You know what I mean? So it's like, how much can you really kind of get mad at someone if they are correct in their take, even if it upsets you? You know, having said all that, I'm not going out of my way to rip anyone. It's just, it's tough though. I mean, like you look at the game and you try to make sure that you're being honest with yourself, but you also want to be honest to the listeners and the fans of our show and not trying to just not bring up something because, you know, you're trying to save face for a guy. That wouldn't really be genuine, which I try to, you know, make sure we are. And also, I think that for our success, it's more about, like a lot of people have said to me, I kind of feel like I'm in the locker room again, which is the whole goal, right? I mean, everyone misses that. So if you can at least have people listening and feeling like they're back playing hockey or in men's league, whatever it is, I think that's fun.
Yeah, no, that is good. And it's funny when you're saying all that stuff, I always wonder where that line gets crossed because, yeah, you can criticize someone's play. And I think that that's an easier thing to do, but where do you feel as though that becomes carving or a personal attack against someone? Like for you, obviously, you know, when you struggle the Canadian market, I'm sure there were guys that said things that absolutely crossed the line, but does it extend into saying someone's soft? Like, where is it where you start to feel like now you're not judging me on my play, you're judging me on my personality, or this is something I actually feel uncomfortable with?
That's a good question. I think saying someone's soft wouldn't be characterized as over the line because when people said I played soft, I mean, for my size, I kind of did. So I don't think that's anything's too bad. I think if you were to talk about somebody's personality, maybe how about their teammates feel about them, even if you get word from maybe one or two guys that, you know, they're not a big fan of this guy that's a teammate of theirs, well, it's unfair to go out and say that that's the case about them unless you heard from the whole team, right? Mm-hmm. So personality and basically maybe what a guy's doing away from the rink, kind of how he lives his life, like that can almost be unfair unless you're 100% sure that that's the case. So personal attacks is way different than calling out a guy's play, whether it's being play with the puck, play away from the puck, or lack of physicality, like you said. It's just, there is a fine line, and it's a good question because it's kind of hard to figure sometimes. Like, what is a realistic criticism of this guy as opposed to, like, dude, why are you going after him, like, personality-wise?
Well, I just think you're a good person to ask because, yeah, you did play and you were heavily criticized, and I do think that sometimes when you're in my position as a guy who never played and that does this job and does 3 hours a day, that, yeah, sometimes you get hot and you just throw something out there and you don't really spend as much time thinking about it. I would guess that you would spend a little bit more time reflecting. I want to circle back to the Bruins-Leafs thing for a second because, yeah, there are those teams that for some reason you just can't beat. And it bothered me as a Leaf fan. A couple of months ago, I was talking to Mark Savard about this, and I asked him, do the Bruins think they own the Leafs? And he just smirked, and he was like, yeah, they do. And I wonder what the value of that is and how hard that is to overcome and what it's going to take for Toronto to get out of that mentality.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the Bruins thinking that, and you know, they have every right to be the same way that the Capitals right now are going and playing the Bruins. They're like, we're going to win. But I think the Leafs would have a very valid point if they're saying to each other, like, they don't own us. We're a new team. We're a different team. Yeah, maybe this year so far, but it's not like going into the playoffs. The Leafs would be like, this team owns us because Tavares wasn't there, and Riley's a better player, and Matthews a year older, and Marner wasn't this good. So it's like, I understand both sides of the Leafs saying this ain't true, and the Bruins saying, no, we own them. I mean, looking at the rosters, it's just crazy to me. I would be shocked this year if the Bruins and the Leafs played in the playoffs and the Bruins won again. I know, why would I be shocked if they continue to win? But this Leafs team's good, and the Bruins, I mean, they have that amazing first line, but after that, it's kind of a drop-off, and and their D really isn't as good as I think Toronto's is. I know that sounds crazy, but McAvoy's been injured. I don't know. It's definitely weird how some teams just dominate another. But for the Bruins to think they own the Leafs, it's valid. But for the Leafs to think that they couldn't change it around would make no sense to me.
Hey, man, I wish we had a little bit more time. Let's do this again soon. That was really fun.
Yeah, you guys got to go to a commercial?
Yeah, well, the show's over and the important show's on next. So if we go late, we'll get fired.
All right. Well, I hope Tavares is getting the credit he deserves up there. It's been insane. So good luck, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, buddy. You too.